Hi, welcome to the Xbox Live Creators Program Jumpstart for Unity Developers. My name is Ramsey Cater, and I'm a software engineer on the Xbox Live SDK team. This time last year, I was in my final semester at University of Maryland, and I was creating a game for one of my classes in Unity. And when I finished my project, I thought it'd be fantastic. I thought it'd be so exciting to share my game with my friends. We're all avid Xbox gamers. And the Creators Program actually allowed me to bring Xbox Live to my game and bring my game out of the classroom and onto the console. It was crazy. We were competing to see who could get first on our leaderboard. And it's kind of sad, because even though I made the game and I knew the mechanics the best, I quickly lost that race. But just competing with my friends was just so exciting. And then it was exciting to see the thousands of players who downloaded my game once I published afterwards. So I'm hoping to bring that excitement to you all through the Creators Program, and hopefully you guys can join us at our growing community of gamers and developers. So this talk will review what exactly is the Xbox Live Creators Program. We'll also introduce some development fundamentals for working with Xbox Live services, and we'll show you how you can integrate Xbox Live services into your Unity game today. So at a high level, the Creators Program is an open program that allows you to bring Xbox Live services to your game without the need for an NDA, without any content approval, or without a development kit for your Xbox. In fact, the only requirements that you need are a Windows Developer account. If you already have one, you're set to go. If you don't, you can get started today with an individual account that runs a one-time fee of $19.99, or a company account, which is a one-time fee of $99.99. You also have to target the Universal Windows platform, which has really nice attributes to it. So what you can do, actually, is with one binary deployed to both Windows 10 and to the Xbox. And then the last requirement is you have to adhere to the Windows Store policies, which are common sense things like don't put a virus in your game, you know, make sure you have a proper app lifecycle. And while this is not a strict requirement, we do highly recommend if you intend to publish your game to the console that you have a Xbox One retail kit that you can get an idea of how your game performs on a console. So what exactly do you get with the Creators Program? For no development costs and for just publishing through the Creators Program, you actually get access to features like clubs, which allow gamers to create social communities around your game. You get things like Game Hub, which is your one-stop shop for all interactions with your game, which includes broadcasts, streaming, and captures. And you have access to Game DVR, which allows you to capture those really special moments with your game and share them with their friends on Xbox. You also get access to streaming through Mixer and Basic Presence. And with a little bit of extra development work, you can actually integrate with Xbox Live Sign-In, featured stats, leaderboards, as well as social graph and connected storage. Now, the one caveat is you have to integrate with Xbox Live Sign-In to publish through the Creators Program. So this is what the program has to offer. Let's introduce some development fundamentals. Before we do that, I'll show you how you can create a game and enable that for Xbox Live. For those of you who already have a game in the Developer Center, the first part won't apply to you. But for those of you who don't, we'll go to developer.windows.com, and we'll click on the dashboard. We'll log in with that Windows Developer account that we mentioned earlier. Go ahead and create a new app. Give your app a name. Verify that app name is unique. While it has to be unique, this is not set in stone. You can still change it at a later time. So give it a unique name. Let's check that it's available. And we'll go ahead and reserve that name. So at this point, you've initialized an app in the Developer Center. For those of you who already have an app in the Developer Center, here's where you can join along. To enable Xbox Live, we'll go to Services, Xbox Live, Enable. We'll confirm the name of our game. We'll also decide what platforms we want to publish to. You can either choose Xbox or Windows 10 or both. So in this case, we'll publish to both. We'll hit Continue. And this will take a few minutes to set up Xbox Live connectivity. Once that's working, we'll scroll down to this test button. Now, any changes you make to this screen have to be published to the Xbox Live services. The way you publish those changes is by clicking the test button right here. So while we haven't created any, while we haven't made any changes so far, we still have to hit the test button before we can get started so that it can initialize a base set of software of Xbox Live service configurations so we can start using Xbox Live today. So we'll go ahead and hit test or start publishing. And once it's done, you'll see a success. So we'll scroll up to the top, and you'll notice that we have three new properties for our game. We have a title ID, a SKID and a sandbox ID. So Title ID is a unique ID given to you from Xbox Live. A service configuration ID, also known as a SKID, is a unique ID that associates your game with a Xbox Live service configuration. And you have a sandbox ID, which you can think of as an instance of those Xbox Live service configurations. Now, the Title ID and the SKID, while important to know where to find them and what they are, there's no action we can take on them as Unity developers, because the Unity plugin actually takes care of that for us. And it's important to know what they are and where to find them. However, the sandbox ID is a pretty big concept that's introduced for Xbox Live development, so let's dig deeper into that. So as a creator's developer, you have access to two kinds of sandboxes, a developer sandbox and a retail sandbox. Your developer sandbox, you can think of as your private instance of the Xbox Live service configurations. So let's say you wanted to test out a new stat for your game, and you wanted to see if the stat was a good fit for your game. Well, what you can do is you can take that stat, publish it to the developer sandbox, your private instance of your Xbox Live service configurations, and then while you use a test account in a developer environment on your computer, you can actually get an idea for how that stat would flow in your game and see if that stat really is the best fit for your game. So there's currently three ways you can get your computer or Xbox into a developer environment, either through the command prompt, the Windows device portal, or Unity Association Wizard. And in today's talk, we'll be showing you how you can do that using the Unity Association Wizard. Now, whenever you publish your game or you make an update to your game, Xbox Live will automatically copy the most up-to-date Xbox Live service configuration in your developer sandbox and move it to your retail sandbox. So when your game is released, this is the service configuration that your live gamers will be using and referencing. So this is the major fundamentals that we're introducing when developing with Xbox Live. So let's hop into our demo. Now I'll be using Unity 2017.02.0 patch 2. I'll also be using Xbox Live's Unity plugin, which is open source, and we highly welcome contributions back. And for the game that I'll be integrating Xbox Live into, I'll be using Stacy Hafner's Super Space Shooter. So let's hop into our demo. Once you've downloaded the Unity asset package from GitHub, you can go and import it as you would any normal asset package by going to Assets, Import Package, Custom Package. I've already done this step, and you've done it successfully once you see the Xbox Live folder in your Assets panel, as well as you see this Xbox Live tab up here. So before we can get started integrating, we have to associate our Unity game with the app we just created in the Developer Center. We can do this by going to the Xbox Live tab up here and clicking Configuration. This will open up this UI, where we can actually run the Xbox Live Association Wizard, which will associate our Unity game with that the app we created in the Device Center. So once this is open up, go ahead and hit Next. Log in with that developer account that you just used to create the app. It will retrieve all the apps that you have under that account. Here's also, in case you haven't created an app yet, here's where you can actually start creating an app and enable Xbox Live through this process. So you can select the app we just created. So I'll select Super Space Shooter GDC. And it will confirm that Xbox Live is actually enabled. From here, it will show you what sandboxes you have available. As a creator, I only have access to one single developer sandbox. So I'll select my single developer sandbox, and I'll hit Next. It'll show me a preview of the configuration that will copy to my local Unity project. So I'll hit Finish, and it'll do that for me. Now I'm ready to go. So remember how I mentioned that we can actually switch into our developer's environment from Unity? So here's how you would do it. With the same UI, you can actually see the switch to developer mode right here. This will do all the magic for you, switching your environment to developer into a developer sandbox. So once it does all its magic, your environment will be in a developer sandbox. Now, it's important to keep in mind your entire environment's in that sandbox. So if you were to go to the Xbox app, you could not log in to an account that did not have access to this developer sandbox. And you can configure those accounts in the device center that we were previously at. So now that we're all configured, let's start integrating. The first thing we want to integrate is Xbox Live sign-in. Remember, this is the only thing you have to integrate in order to publish through the Creators Program. However, any additional features you integrate just create a richer experience. So we'll do this by going to the Xbox Live folder. We'll go to prefabs, and we'll copy the player authentication prefab onto our scene. Once we've done that, I'm gonna go ahead and move that to our main menu screen. I wanna call out some really cool properties that this player authentication prefab has. The first one being the player number. Now the Xbox Live Unity plugin actually handles user management if you'd like it to. And the way it does that is it associates an Xbox Live user with a player number. And then our prefabs, the Xbox Live prefabs, actually take that player number to get an idea of what user context you're referring to. So for example, in this situation, whatever user logs in to this player authentication prefab will be associated with the player number one. And let's say later on the line, I wanted to show the leaderboard just for this player. What I would do is I would give that player number one to the leaderboard's prefab, and then the leaderboard prefab would understand what user I'm referring to. In addition to the player number, we also have access to the light and dark themes, and we can also enable joystick support. Now keep in mind, this uses Unity's default input manager. We can also associate with it a joystick number, as well as customize the sign-in and sign-out buttons to better match the flow of our game. And the really cool thing is, once you've configured this, the prefab takes care of the rest. So it will check to see when the buttons are pressed, and it will update the right functionality based on those button presses. So before we can get started testing this, the player authentication prefab actually relies on an Xbox Live Services prefab to get started. So we'll just drag this Xbox Live Services prefab from the prefabs folder onto our hierarchy, and now we're ready to go. Now, there are three layers of data. There's mock data, which occurs in the editor, so you can quickly iterate on your design and your flow without having to hit the service. Once you've built your app locally, but before you've published it, you'll have access to test data. And then once you finally published your app to retail, you'll have access to production data. So I'll go ahead and sign in now by clicking on the prefab. There you go. You can see I've logged in with some mock data. Now, fake user one is associated with that player number one that I showed you in the prefab property. Let's do something cool. Let's add a second user or multiple users. So I'm going to go ahead and just duplicate this prefab. And I'm just going to drag it slightly below the other one. But before I can play, I have to change the player number so that whatever user logs into this prefab has its own unique player number associated with it. I'm also going to change the theme from light to dark so we can tell the difference between both prefabs. Now if I hit play, you'll see that we have two very distinct prefabs that are signed up and hooked up to two different distinct player numbers. So if I sign into either one, fake user one is now associated with player number one, and fake user two is now associated with player number two. But this is a single player game, so we're going to go ahead and remove the second user prefab. So at this point, you can publish to the Xbox Live and to the Windows 10. But let's go ahead and create a richer experience by adding stats and leaderboards, since this game has a score component to it. So what we'll do is we'll actually go back into the Developer Center, and we're going to go ahead and configure stats there. So for time, I'm going to go ahead back to my PowerPoint. So back in the Developer Center, we'll go ahead and click on New to create a new stat. We'll define a stat display name and ID, as well as the format. The available formats are integer, double, timestamp, and string. And we'll also dictate the kind of sort order that we want for our stat in our leaderboard. So once you define those properties, we'll go ahead and hit Save. And while this change has happened locally, remember, for any change that we make on this page, we have to go to the test button to publish those changes to Xbox Live. So we'll go back down, we'll hit on test, we'll wait for it to publish to the service, and once that's completed, we'll go ahead and see a success. So now we have a stat configured in the Windows Developer Center. Let's go back to Unity. So the way we can hook into this stat that we just configured is by leveraging our integer stat prefab. We'll put that stat in the hierarchy, and we'll give it the same ID and display name that we configured it with. So since we created a stat for high scores, we're going to give it the ID of high score, which matched the ID that was in the Windows Developer Center. And then we'll also give it a display name of higher score. Now here's a good opportunity to talk to you about how stats works for Xbox Live. Xbox Live is a replace-only service. So any stat you write to Xbox Live is the only value that it will retain. So it's up to you in the game to decide when is the right time to send the best value to the service. So let's give you an example. In this project, what we'll do is we'll leverage Unity's player preferences. And for those of you who are not Unity developers, player preferences are local storage of values. So we're going to leverage Unity's player prefs to store the score between sessions for users. While this is a good way to do it, this is not the most robust way, since if you uninstall the app or you went on another console, that stat wouldn't carry over. Actually, Xbox Live has a concept of connected storage, which you can leverage to write per user values, which would make a more robust stat system. But for this case, we'll just continue to use player prefs. So let's go ahead and add stats to our game by going to the game manager script, which handles our end game logic. So the first thing we need to do is we need to get access to that integer stat prefab that we just created. We can do that by adding a public property to our game manager script. Once we've done that, we'll scroll down to the end game method. We'll retrieve whatever cache stat we have stored and check to see if the score that we got this session is greater than that high score. We can do that by defining a stat key that is equal to the ID of the stat we want to retrieve. In this case, that ID would be high score. And then we'll store that high score from the player prefs, passing to it the stat key, as well as the default value of 0 in case that user hasn't hit the game yet. Once we do that, we'll ensure that the score, we'll check that the score that we got in this session is higher than that high score, and if it is, we'll save it for future references. Now you'll notice that we haven't done anything Xbox Live related just quite yet. But now let's go ahead and implement and integrate Xbox Live into our flow. So the first thing we want to do is we want to ensure that there is some user signed in before we try to configure these stats. The way we can do that is by returning if no users exist. So the Unity plugin provides a sign-in manager, which provides to you all the users that are currently signed into to the game. Now, if there's no users signed in, we're going to go ahead and stop executing because there's no point in saving the stats because there's no user. Now, assuming there is a user, what we have to do is we have to create a unique ID for the stat key. Because imagine if there's two players playing on the same console. Whoever had the higher score would override the previous player's score. So in order to do that, we're going to leverage the Xbox Live user's Xbox user ID to create a unique ID by combining both the Xbox user ID and the stat ID. Now, you might be thinking, why don't we use the gamer tag? Well, a gamer tag is not static. Gamers can change their gamer tag. However, a gamer cannot change their Xbox user ID. So by using the Xbox user ID and the stat ID, we can create a unique key for the user and that stat. So we'll use that stat key in the player prefs to get the previously saved score for that user and that stat. And then once we confirm that the score they got that session exceeds that high score, we'll go ahead and save it to player prefs, but we'll also save it to the Xbox Live service. We can do that by taking our score that we want to send to the service and storing that in the prefab's value property. Now so at this point, this stat will get written to the service in a 5-minute interval. However, we recommend as a best practice that whenever you leave a scene, you request a flush to the service. And the way that works is it takes whatever non-published stats and it changes the interval from 5 minutes to 30 seconds. Now we'll do that by calling our stats manager request flush to service. Now you'll notice that this request flush to service takes in a player, takes a player, and it will take all the scores that you've tried to write into the service and write it up in a 30-second interval. Now, you'll notice that we actually have a boolean here that refers to our is high priority. Now, when you request a flush with high priority, what it does is it sends it instantaneously to the stats service. However, you can't call request a flush the service with a high priority more than once every 30 seconds. Now, for best practices, we recommend you do this only when you know the game is about to exit, so that any stats that you that have not been written yet to the service get written instantaneously. Now, that's all we have to do for this flow to integrate stats in our Unity game. Let's go back to Unity. And since we added a public property, we can't forget to set that property. So now that Unity is updated, we'll go ahead and take this integer stat property and set it here. Now, we want to see those stats in action. So while we're writing to the service, we want to see who's getting what score and how good the players are. So let's add a leaderboard. Now we can add a leaderboard by going back to our assets, Xbox Live folder, prefabs, and it's as easy as dragging on our leaderboard prefab. Now I have a leaderboard canvas, so I'm going to go ahead and just drag that onto our leaderboard canvas. I'll center it so we can see it better. And here's a good opportunity to talk about what properties are in the leaderboard script. So the script has access to the light and dark themes, like the player authentication script does. It also has access to the player number. Now, we can give a player number to this prefab so that it has context as to which player we're communicating about. So there are three types of leaderboard types. There's global, which is all the players that are competing. There's friends, which is a leaderboard of just your friends. There are favorites, which is a leaderboard of just your favorite friends. And while global is the same regardless of the player you give it, friends and favorites changes depending on what player we're talking about. So by changing the player number, we give leaderboards the context for which friends and favorites we want to fill in this leaderboard. Now, the leaderboard prefab also takes this stat property as well as an entry count. Now, if there's more entries than you request, the service will return to you the amount you requested. And it'll also handle paging for you, so that if you want the next set of entries for that amount, it will take care of all that for you. So we're going to go ahead and pass the integer stat to our leaderboard. I'm going to keep it global for now. Also, you have access to enable joystick support, and it's the same concept as the player authentication. It handles all the checks for you, and it will pop off the right functions as the buttons get pressed. So we've copied our integer stat onto the leaderboard prefab. And at this point, we want to refresh the leaderboard whenever we navigate to that scene. So I'm going to go to my UI, to my user interface manager script, and I'm going to create a public property to my leaderboard prefab. And then I'll scroll down to where we handle endgame in our UI, and I'll just request the refresh from the leaderboard service so that we populate with fresh data. So now, like we did in the previous, since we added a public property, we have to wait until Unity updates so we can copy over that public property and set that. I'm going to go ahead and copy our leaderboard prefab from our canvas to our leaderboard to our UI manager leaderboard property. And at this point, I'll go ahead and play so that you can get an idea of that full flow from signed in to writing stats to rendering a leaderboard. So I'll go ahead, sign in with my mock user. I'll play. And at this point, I can shoot. So you know, I'm pretty bad at this game, so one's my high score. And you can see when we move over to the leaderboard screen, it'll render the leaderboard, as well as gamer tags, profile photos, and score. So these users are actually pretty much better than I am. So I didn't make it onto the leaderboard this time, but maybe next time. So it's really cool that the Xbox Live plugin actually provides the UI throughout the prefabs. However, you don't have to use our UI. You can use the prefab and change the UI. Or if you'd like, you can actually use the scripts that we provide with the UI as best practices and capture those ideas and actually integrate it into your game in a way that best fits your flow. So once you're happy with the way it looks in Unity, you can go ahead and open the build settings by either Control-Shift-B or by going to File, Build Settings. Just switch your platform to Universal Windows Platform so that you can deploy one binary to both Windows 10 and to the Xbox. We also have to make sure you toggle the Unity C# project so that we can get a Visual Studio project. And at that point, you're ready to continue to the next step. That's where our demo ends today. Now, if you have any questions, we have a pretty active MSDN forum. You can find that forum by either going to the URL here or by Googling Ripping Xbox Live Development MSDN forum. We also have a pretty active GitHub that we are constantly taking feedback on support issues as well as feature requests. We also highly recommend you contribute back. We really enjoy hearing from the community. We also have documentation at aka.ms/xbldocs. Also, if you have any specific questions, my email is on screen at ramsek@xbox.com. I'm more than happy to either help you or direct you to some source that can help you. Thank you for your time.